Our next public hearing is subdivision 2007-5, David Edwards.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Lewis and
Rio. Hey, what did I say? Sir, if you're going to speak out there, we're having a meeting here. All right, so I'm sorry, Mr. Lang.
Pause. Yeah, pause. This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, dividing 11.28 acres into 28 lots within the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone, and also proposing development of the cluster density trade located southeast of Road 277, 1,150 feet southwest of Route 275. On this application, I would ask Mr. Abbott if he's received any additional comments from any agencies.
Mr. Wheatley, the TAC review of July 18th, 2007 will be made a part of the record. On August 29th of this year, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet and a revised plan. Each of you has a copy of that. On Tuesday, the 9th, we received a copy of a letter from Tidewater Environmental Services. It's a willing and able to serve letter. We've also received a letter of no objection from DelDOT in reference to the entrance location. Today, we received a letter from David Grider expressing concerns about the subdivision or possible stub connector streets. That'll be made a part of the record. I'll pass that down for your review. And as Mr. Lank stated, this is a density trade ordinance application. By rate, 22 lots are permitted, 28 are proposed. There would be 6 additional lots, and if the county did approve that, the developer would be required to pay $20,000 per 6 lots. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Once again, if there's anyone here with an interest in this application, apparently we're going to put some boards up on this side as well. Please feel free to get up, wander around, take a look at them, as long as you do it quietly. Certainly help yourselves. And the chair recognizes Mr. Byard.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. Good evening, gentlemen. Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant. With me tonight are the developers, David Edwards and Andy Brenner. And the project designer engineer, Mark Davidson, whom you know. He's a little busy, but maybe he can do 2 things at once. Mark, can you identify yourself and briefly describe your credentials to the commission?
Good evening, Mark Davidson with Design Consultants Group in Milton, Delaware. I've submitted for my record, for the record, in the booklets of the qualifications.
We're good.
Can you, Mark, generally describe the location of this property?
Yes, this property is located on the east side of Robinsonville Road. It is approximately 1,200 feet south of Plantations Road.
Can you walk the commission around the neighborhood, if you will?
Yes. On the north side of this piece of property right now is currently a vacant open field. This piece of property is in the proximity of about five subdivisions, Henlopen and Landing being to the north, Seawood subdivision being directly across the street and on the west side of Robinsonville Road. We have Goslin Creek Purchase, which is to the south, as well as Morning View subdivision. Directly on the east side behind this piece of property, we have an existing borrow pit, as well as the plantations and Plantations East.
Am I correct that this is in an investment level 3 area?
That is correct.
Can you describe the site in its present condition?
The site right now is currently, it's an open field that is currently being, has grasses in it. It's being currently mowed by Mr. Edwards. It also has an existing house on the property.
Are there any wetlands on the site?
No, there is not.
is there any timber or timber stand that has any value on the site?
No.
Are there any difficult or unique stormwater issues on the site?
No.
What would be the source of central water and sewer for the property?
Currently, there's an existing water line that is running down the road that is owned by Tidewater Utilities. They will be providing the water for this property. Central sewer is available via two options. One would be, we are in the planning area for the Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. Although we are not contiguous, we are one property away from being contiguous. And as was mentioned earlier in the discussion, a willing and able letter by Tidewater Environmental, they have stated that they would be able to provide sanitary sewer service to this property.
Gentlemen, the text of that letter is important because what it says is that Tidewater does not propose to stand in the county's way if the county will extend service. However, because there is no contiguity here between the county district and this property, the county is unwilling to extend service. What the county has done is asked the developer to consult with the neighbor and determine whether the neighbor would be interested in becoming part of the district, and evidently that interest is not there. Are there any particular DLDOT issues with respect to the site, Mark?
No, we've been able to obtain a letter of no objection for the entrance location. This entrance is located directly across from the entrance of Seawood subdivision.
And am I correct, because of this project's small size, no plus report was required?
That is correct.
Can you walk the commission through your site design?
Sure. The site lays out real nice, where the fact is the shape of this property allowed us to be able to come up with reduce the lot sizes down to, again, we're proposing 7,500 square foot lots. All lots are back up to some type of open space that we are proposing for this site, whether it's the 30-foot buffers, agricultural buffers, or landscape buffers, I should say, that are bordering around the property, as well as the buffers are open space within the site. We're providing a landscape plan in the booklets given to you. We do have a conceptual landscape plan showing an extensive landscaping of the site. Coming up, you've also provided in your booklet an illustration of the entrance and the entrance monument signs that we'll be proposing for this site. As you come into the entrance, there will be an island in the middle that will be landscaped. The actual entrance will come in, and the roads were laid out in such a way that all the lots will front on each individual on all the roads here. No lots will have access to the county road. And again, all the lots are backed up against the open space.
You talked for a minute about any buffers or trails.
There will be sidewalks proposed for this property along the roadways. There's also walking trails throughout the landscape buffers.
Will there be sidewalks on both sides of the street?
Yes, there will be.
Street lights as well?
Yes.
Talk about the design of your stormwater plan. Where are you in the permitting process in that regard?
We've received, and in your booklets, we've received approval of our stormwater management design for this site. What we are proposing is two infiltration ponds. The soils out here are very good. The soil testing came back to where we're self-containing the entire stormwater on site. These are landscaped ponds. We've provided a landscaping plan to the Sussex Conservation District for their review. The types of plants that we're going to be placing inside these stormwater ponds, there are going to be some grasses, what they call no-mow grasses or low-mow grass type plantings within it to help absorb the water Any addition, again, these ponds were designed so that they will remain dry, and the landscaping, the extensive landscaping that we've provided within these ponds will allow the ponds to stay dry.
Although it's probably not relevant to this plan, is there room for a school bus shelter and parking for a school bus?
That is correct. At this time, we have provided a location at the front of the entrance here for a school bus shelter. The subdivision is targeting the 55 and older. They're going to market that, so although we do provide a bus shelter, we feel that the market age that the developers are going to be targeting here are 55 and older. We do, in the booklets, there's a letter from Dr. Stone of the superintendent for the Cape and Lopin School District stating that this subdivision will have no negative impact on the Cape and Lopin School District.
Can you describe for the commission the percentages of lots, streets, open space, buffers, and so on?
We're proposing 28 lots, which is approximately 34% of the subdivision. The open space equals approximately 33% of the subdivision, and the streets is approximately 33%.
Now, this application includes a bonus density component. Can you speak to that?
Yes. As was stated earlier, under the bonus density, ordinance number 1842, as adopted, the bonus density affords this subdivision to be 44 lots can be planned for this subdivision. With that, what we've been able to do is we've been able, with the reduced lot sizes down to 7,500 square feet, with the shape of this parcel and being able to still provide greater than 30% open space, we've been able to provide for 28 lots, which is 6 lots over what is allowed under the bonus density.
Is there a reason you haven't designed any particular active open space other than the walking trails?
Again, with this being targeted to the 55, we've provided, again, with sidewalks on both sides, the amount of open space, the amount of visual open space that we've been able to provide, the extensive landscaping that's going to be provided for this, and with the walking trails that are going to intermingle within the buffers and the open space, that we feel that that'll satisfy the...
In the event the county does not sewer this property, Tidewater does not sewer this property, and the county does, that area set aside for Tidewater can be developed as open space.
That is correct, yes.
Can you walk the commission briefly through the elements of 99-9C?
Again, with the integration of this proposed subdivision in the existing terrain, this subdivision is in the environmentally sensitive developing district. It afforded us to be able to reduce the lot sizes down to 7,500 square feet. It allowed us to be able to provide a layout here that is superior over a traditional subdivision, allowing for each lot to be able to back up to open space. It also allowed us to be able to provide the landscaping that we show on the plan. There are no wetlands located on the site. This site is also outside the 500-year floodplain. There are no known historical cultural features on this site. Again, with the type of design that we're doing, the BMPs for the stormwater, this site's going to take in the natural features that are already on this site. I should say that there is an existing hedgerow located on the north boundary line of this piece of property, as well as the east boundary line, and that vegetation is going to remain. With the open space, as I stated earlier, we are providing 33% open space within this site, along with the walking trails and the landscaping that we are doing. Tree removal, again, very little trees on the site, except for the fact that we are going to remove any of the trees that are bordering the property along the hedgerows. Any screening of objectionable features, again, we are proposing a at this time a pump station that will take the wastewater off site. We are landscaping around it. We provided substantial landscape. Again, the landscaping plan has been submitted as part of the record. The stormwater ponds will be landscaped. The provisions for water is, again, there is an existing water line located along Robinsonville Road. The sewage disposal, again, we talked about that. Pollution in surface and groundwater, again, we are designing infiltration ponds. We are recharging the groundwater. We're utilizing the swales on both sides of the roads to be able to direct us to bring the stormwater to the infiltration ponds. As part of the booklet, we did a nutrient analysis, and we are able, with the type of stormwater BMPs that we're proposing, with the recharge of the groundwater, and we're providing central sewer, we're able to meet the TMDLs that will be proposed for this area. Again, all stormwater, we do have the stormwater approval at this time from the Conservation District. I should say that the site is fairly flat. There's roughly about a 1 foot difference in elevation. It does, the site does flow from the east to the west on this site, and that's largely why we position the ponds the way we have on this site. So we try to work with the existing contours when we can. The provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement, again, we've designed an entrance that is directly across from the Seawood subdivision. This provides for a safe intersection between two subdivisions when being able to move traffic in and out of the site. We're also dedicating a 15-foot wide multimodal easement to the state. We're providing a 10-foot walking path across the front of the property, providing sidewalks on both sides. The effect on area property values, this subdivision is similar in nature to the, what is considered Plantations East, when it comes to lot sizes. It is, there should be no effect on the area property values. The covenant restrictions have been submitted as part of the record. Again, the preservation and conservation of farmland. We are predominantly in an area that is, as you can see on the aerial map here, that we are surrounded by subdivisions. This is keeping in kind with that. We are providing an extensive amount of open space within this subdivision. The effects on schools and public facilities, again, the letter was submitted as part of the record from Dr. Stone of the Cape and Lopin School District. The effect on area roadways, there are in public transportation, no traffic impact study was warranted. We are in the process of working with DLDOT on the entrance plan designs. The compatibility with other land uses, again, the subdivision itself is in kind with what's going on in the area at this time with the surrounding subdivisions. And the effect on area waterways, there will be no effect. We are completely self-containing the stormwater on site. There's no waterways within the boundary of this property.
Can you tie this design to the cluster ordinance?
Yes. Again, with the under the cluster ordinance, the design guidelines for the cluster ordinance talks about housing types. This is single-family houses, and that's what's going to be developed on this site. As part of the design requirements for the cluster, a forested buffer with a minimum of 30 feet shall be provided for all lots abutting an agricultural area. We are providing a 30-foot buffer around the entire subdivision, a minimum of 30-foot buffer around the entire subdivision. Dwellings located within 50 feet of existing residential developments shall provide adequate transition and density or shall provide a 30-foot buffer. Again, we're providing that 30-foot landscape buffer. Talks about planting strip of 30 feet wide. We did submit a landscaping plan that meets the county's requirements, and we will submit a final landscaping plan new lots shall have direct access. Again, these lots are all lots will have direct access from the internal streets within the subdivision. There are no wetlands on site.
And it's our burden to establish to the satisfaction of the commission that this design is superior to an ordinary grid subdivision. Can you do you have any other reasons you haven't already identified?
I think I've pretty much touched on most of them. Again, this with this project falling in the area that it is, it afforded us to be able to reduce the lot sizes while being able to provide a substantial amount of open space.
Gentlemen, it's the rare subdivision in my experience that actually has levers of support for the project. There are six in your booklet on the handlebars, seven from the neighbor who lives at 8,000 Drive. I do want to speak to the concern expressed by Mr. Breyer. Mark, if you could point out to the commission the location of the proposed stub street.
Yes. Based on the letter that was received by Mr. Breyer, he's talking about he owns this piece of property, which is adjacent to our where we have lot 25. The stub street that he's talking about is falls in this location here. Again, as part of the requirements for the letter of no objection from DLDOT, they required us to provide stub streets, and they also told us we had to pave these stub streets to the property line. Didn't make sense to us at the time, but you know, it's one of the things that we have to address when we are dealing with DLDOT. What we're able to do, and if I may, I'll pass out what I have here on the board.
Thank you.
Another one back.
The concern in the letter stated that the road stopped within 2 feet of the Mr. Greider's property line. What I've been able to do with this layout here, what we'll be able to propose is we're going to stop the road in front of lot 25, which is a typical type design that we like to do when designing this type of a subdivision, not extend the road all the way and provide for more paving and more paved surfaces unless it's needed. So what we've been able to do is we've been able to back this road up 45 feet. So it will now stop 45 feet short of Mr. Greider's property line, not 2 feet. What we've done is we've extended the buffer, the 30-foot buffer, and then there's a right-of-way line, and then the paving will be 15 feet off the right-of-way line as per the county engineering code.
You understand DLDOT's reasoning. What's the purpose for the stub road?
They're requiring that on adjacent subdivisions now to be able to have connectivity to either existing subdivisions or anything that could be proposed in the future on adjacent lands.
In your experience, does it make sense for stub roads to be created to serve other developments?
Not usually.
Current development?
No, not usually. The questions that we always arise is the existing subdivision that they're requiring, or the proposed subdivision that they're requiring the stub streets, allowing more traffic. Because these streets are private, these 28 lots have to take care of the streets. They have to pay for the streets to allow additional traffic from other subdivisions to utilize it. The state hasn't come up with a mechanism yet. They haven't answered the question, who's responsible for the streets after, you know, once you allow other people to travel within it. So it's not a practice, although I understand what they're trying to get at with the connectivity with other pieces of property. There just hasn't been, at least in Sussex County, there hasn't been a mechanism yet to address. There's a lot of concerns with it right now.
Mark, you've referenced that this is you market this as a 55-building project. Am I correct that homes would be somewhere between 1,800 and 2,500 square feet?
That is correct.
Gentlemen, that's the gist of the application. It's been planned with particular care, if for no other reason than one of the developers, David Edwards, is an adjoining neighbor. Could you point out where Dave's property is and location of the property?
Yes.
Obviously, yes, embodied concerns about the quality of what's next door. What this is, we think, is consistent with the land use plan. We think it exceeds the requirements of 99-9C. Certainly meets the purposes of the cluster ordinance and qualifies for the density trade ordinance under Ordinance 1842. As you know, that density trade requires not only the blessing of the commission, it requires a 4/5 vote of county council in order to be effective. And to make it clear for the record, if you approve and council approves 6 additional lots, the payment to the county for open space acquisition purposes will be $20,000 per lot. We'd be glad to answer any questions you have.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any. We'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since we just finished talking about the stub streets, I'd like to go back and revisit that. And this has to do with our infinite wisdom from that agency, because in reviewing the TAC comments, the other thing I noticed that the DLDOT was saying shall be provided is that a temporary cul-de-sac at the end of those stub streets. Is that
we've been
on those plans, or is that
what we've been able to do? Is we've been able to, through the process of working on the entrance designs, we've been able to talk them out of doing that. We do have a letter of no objection, so as part of the comments, a comment came in about a cul-de-sac, but we've been, you know, what we're trying to promote here is not to have to pave more than we have to, especially with trying to do a project within the environmentally sensitive district. So that was just a comment that was through TAC, but when we addressed it with them, it was removed, and we essentially got the letter, no objection, and we've submitted our entrance design.
I hadn't seen that stand out before. Maybe I just never read it. Okay. Why are they proposing two stub streets, or wanting two stub streets on that side, on the east side?
Well,
I mean, because it looks like you have one in the, you know, in the lower part, and then one in the upper part.
The way the road lays out, the grid type road that we've laid out with this type of road system that we've laid out here, they're thinking that in the future, and again, this is DLDOT thinking that they can connect this at this piece of property next door here, and whether they have any influence on the person that possibly might want to develop that piece of property to be able to connect or design their subdivision to connect into our roads. Again, that was their idea. We did share with them that we have a little bit of a problem with a corner of this lot here being able to get to there, but again, we were trying to satisfy some comments so that we could get our letter of no objection and approval, but since then we've been able to, we'll be able to back off that road for now, and if it's something that DelDOT wants in the future, DelDOT.
Because I understand the concept behind the connector roads. I just didn't understand why they would be looking for two of them, especially one that would be intrusive on your next door neighbor.
Again, I can't answer what.
That's my comment against them than what you're proposing.
It's baffling, Mr. Johnson, why there needs to be a connector road to a borrowhead.
Waterfront property.
Absolutely. And to a property owned by a neighboring developer who has his own access.
Open space. You talk about 32% open space, and I look at the picture, and I'm having trouble visualizing almost a third of the property being open space. So could you share with the commission what you're considering open space? I understand the buffer that surrounds it and being included in that, but...
Well, again, what we've done here is we've taken these lots and pulled them off away from the existing road, county road along the front. We've got, again, it's a lot of visual open space. Again, we're targeting the 55 and older, so that's the market on this. We wanted to ensure that every lot was able to back up to some type of open space, some type of buffer, so that we could landscape it. We've got some walking paths going through this so that everybody within the neighborhood will be able to share the experience being able to walk through all this landscaping.
And the stormwater management system is dry or wet?
It's dry.
It's dry. So you're talking about grassy areas with
That's correct. Native plantings? Within the ponds itself, we submitted a landscaping plan to the Conservation District as a part of our design to ensure that we will be able to get water uptake through the plant material that we spelled out. And again, we will be submitting with a final subdivision plan, if this gets approved, a final landscaping plan.
So that the appearance would be more of a park-like setting?
Yes, it would be. And again, visual in nature, and that's what we're trying to...
Thus, it's included in part of your open space calculations?
That is correct. It is okay. Included.
I do want to commend you on the thoroughness of your materials you submitted, but I still have a couple stickers here.
Okay.
So bear with me. Okay, Mr. Chairman, all my questions have been answered.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
You mentioned that you're going to market this to the 55 and older. How are you doing that? I mean, how are you?
We're not the marketing division, Mr. Burton. David, if you want to introduce yourself and talk about marketing at this early stage, this is before preliminary approval, so we're not there yet.
They're offering free Mercedes with each lot.
It's the dealership and get that building.
Hi, my name is David Edwards. As said, I am the neighbor, and I'm very concerned about what goes here. I've always tried to be a good neighbor. Right now, it's an open field, and I get out on tractor and I cut the field to keep it neat so that the neighbors feel comfortable with the property. And I'm concerned that I want a nice piece of property when it's all done and over with. As far as marketing is concerned, we've been talking, researching, and one of the things that I found is a need for 55 plus housing people that want to come and retire in the area. And talking to them, one of my neighbors, as a matter of fact, who lives on a half acre property nearby, I went over and I talked with him, and he was telling me he bought the property and he was very happy with what he had, and he thought he had, you know, utopia, and then he figured out he couldn't take care of it, and it's because the property was too big. So size, the fact that we're looking for the retirement community, those things are going to be what drives that 55 plus. We're not saying it, you can't come live there with a family. We're just saying that's the marketing concept, and we'll move into that more as we get into a sales team.
Thank you. There was very little amenities, so I figured that...
That's, I think, industry standard for a 55 and older community.
Low amenities.
Low amenities, small lots, lots of trees, lots of plantings, lots of walking trails.
Which brings to the walking trail. Where are the walking trails? Are they the buffer zones?
Yeah, the walking trails are throughout the open space here. We have them, you can sort of see them here on the color rendering that's probably in the booklet. You might be able to see. We've got them throughout the entire, all the buffers with all the open space. We will look at providing some. We have sidewalks here around two sides of the pond here. Again, maybe trying to connect a trail in here is what we'll end up doing. Again, with targeting the 55 and older, the number one recreation in the state of Delaware is walking. And so we're going to promote that, and we're going to try to get as much walking paths that we can within the open space.
Okay. Is that an active borrow pit that's behind there?
Certainly is.
It is. Is there any?
Owned by the Howard Ritter family. It is not, I would say, 40% dugout. Lawrence, I don't know.
No, I do.
But if you look at the aerial, Mr. Burton, it doesn't look like the property has been dug in this area. There are what appear to be two significant ponds here, material stored here. So there is more to be dug, but it is a very active pit.
And there'll be significant buffering there between there and the pit.
Mark, the buffer here is,
there's an existing hedgerow right there. We're going to leave it intact. And if we see that we need to provide for some additional plantings along the back there, that we will provide.
No fencing or anything like that.
Okay.
No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Gordy?
No questions.
Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to the landscaping, could you give us an idea? You referenced the plan included in the book, but what will it be using the right tree for the right place?
That is correct. It'll be the right tree for the right place. We will make sure that, again, there's a plant list. I believe it's on the second sheet of the landscaping concept. And those selections of trees come right out of the booklet for the right tree in the right place. The landscaping within the ponds come from a list that provided to us by Denerec for being able to provide the right tree within an infiltration pond to help with the water uptake.
Thank you. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lang?
Are these streets proposed to be curb and gutter or just swaled?
They're going
to
be swales.
Okay, then the swale, you should have a problem, and you should know of a problem that the Public Works has with trees and swales.
That's correct.
So it appears that they're already in this, where the swale area would be. Just in to the naked eye, anyway.
You know, with the illustration, the trees will be planted on the upslope, the back slope of the swales, between the sidewalk and the center line of the swale. They don't like us planting. We tried to propose in the past with doing a rain garden type design by planting trees within the swales, and the county engineering department didn't like that idea. So what we do is we move the trees upslope, up the back slope.
That's all I have.
Okay, Mr. Scouts?
I don't really have a question, but a minute ago you mentioned about the notch and the right-of-way because of the Ryder property.
That's correct.
In your boundary survey tab, there is a period to be added to parcel 55551, which I believe is the Ryder property. Has that transfer occurred?
Or? Yes, it has. It occurred, and he's built a building on that property.
Okay, because that notch could have been dealt with that transfer, taking it out. But.
Yeah, if you look on the diagram there, where you see the let me walk over here, where the notch is in here, this originally, the property line went straight, and he wanted to have a little bit more room because he wanted to put a building to work on his cars. He collects cars. And Mr. Grider was very good to my parents, and so we obliged him with that.
Yeah, and that's fine. But if it hadn't taken place, we could have dealt with that notch.
That's correct.
In the right of way.
That's right.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
I just have one. In the proposed conditions that were submitted, I know that you were applying for the bonus density on this. It had said that if that approval does not occur, only 24 lots are permitted. Is that supposed to say 22 lots on that?
That's been a debate between Mr. Davis and me.
Well,
do you want to address that, Mark?
I can, yes. In the the letter that we received from Mr. Robertson, it states that on the second paragraph under section 115-194.3, which I believe is the environmentally sensitive developing district, the maximum density allowed in the ESDDOZ shall be the allowable density of the underlying zoning district for developments using central water and central sewer. Take that, the actual density then, and I provided a density, the next page after that in the booklet, I provided a density chart. If you look at what you're allowed, the density in a ESDDOZ is 2.17 lots per acre. Multiply that times 11.03 and you come up with 24 lots. So if, again, if the bonus density is not allowed, then what is allowed under the current zoning is 24 lots.
Where did the 22 come from?
The 22 is based on ordinance 1842, where you start with two lots per acre.
Well, then if you're going to go for the credit, you got to go with what's in that part of the ordinance. You can't take a piece out of one, I wouldn't think, and apply it to the other.
Well, the argument, the debate between Mark and me, Mr. Wheatley, has been how can you apply one ordinance to achieve one density and the second ordinance to achieve another, but that's a conflict within or between two county ordinances.
Well, I would tend to agree with you. I think that there's an issue there, but I would. That's my two cents. I'm weighing in on your debate. Unfortunately, I believe I'm siding with Mr. Byard on this one. So that's all right. Maybe you turn next time. Anyway, thank you. Anything else? Then that obviously something somebody other than this body is going to have to resolve, and good luck with that. So,
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Then are we done with a dual application, one for under the with the bonus density, and then one because it sounds like it's a drop back and pass.
No, I don't know. I think you have to decide which ordinance you're going
to you're going for. Mr. Johnson, and that's the way the application was framed. It's clear on the face of the application that there was a bonus density component involved. Again, with respect to the bonus density, that requires not only your approval,
it requires a 4/5 approval by majority vote. So it's a little more complicated.
Yeah.
I would agree. Anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? All right, gentlemen, take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2007-5, David Edwards? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2007-5.
There was.
Yo, you want it?
I just had a couple questions.
You're okay. Well, come on up.
Oh, okay. Actually, I'm here about another development, but I'm just I'll have the same questions for that. Are you alerting the people to the potential?
Excuse me, sir. You need to ask us, and then we'll ask them.
Okay. Are you alerting the people that are purchasing the places of the potential Western Parkway, and I know it doesn't go through your development. Are you making that part of the record to anyone that's purchasing property in this development?
I'll find out. Just go ahead. Give me everything you've got, and then we'll.
We need
your name also, sir. I need your name.
Could just out of curiosity, what the price range of the houses are?
Need your name. Need to tell us your name.
Okay. Tom Gainey, and I live on Robinsonville Road, about 3/4 mile past this development.
Okay.
And the one, I was just wondering if they're going to make the people aware of the potential of the Western Parkway And number two, what's the anticipated price on the homes?
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? That's it?
That's it.
All right, sir. Well, I'll go try to get an answer for you. Mr. Byard, would you like to address those questions?
With respect to the Western Parkway, until a location has been identified, until DLDOT has some money, and until it engineers something, the location of the Western Parkway may be mythical. In fact, the existence of it may be mythical. Whatever it is and wherever it is a function of public notice. And if and when David Edwards and the Brenners learn of the precise location of Western Parkway, there will be some disclosure. As to price points in this market, all I can tell you is they better be competitive or this development will not do very well. I cannot give you a range.
Okay. All right, sir. There you go. Okay, anyone else like to speak in opposition, or anyone like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public